This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morrison. This week, we're looking back on a memorable weekend for the Bates basketball teams. Both the women and the men won their games on Saturday, a day that saw the Bobcats celebrate the life and legacy of Billy Selman from the class of 2015. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. On Saturday, the women's basketball team defeated the University of New England 58-51, improving to 8-1 on the young season. Then the men's basketball team won an epic overtime game against Colby, prevailing 99-92 over the Mules. But on this day, the final scores weren't the most important thing for the Bates basketball family. It was a day to welcome back the family of the late Billy Selman from the class of 2015. Both teams wore number 23 Selman shirts before their respective games, and men's basketball head coach John Furbush presented Selman's family with framed jerseys in a pregame ceremony. Selman died unexpectedly from a sudden medical event in late January, but this weekend was one of celebration. The 2015 NCAA Sweet 16 team, which Selman captained, returned to Alumni Gym as well, and at halftime in the men's game, one of his teammates, Mike Bornazian, joined the web broadcast to share his memories of Billy.
It means everything to be back. I mean, to be able to come out, honor Billy, to be able to see his family, honor his jersey, give him all the respect that he deserves, and be here with our family. Like, to have this team back together, it was the first Sweet 16 team in Bates history. It was such a great time, some of the best 4 years of my life, to be honest with you. And to come back and make sure it's all dedicated to Billy, like, that is truly, truly special.
So that year was actually the year before I arrived at Bates, so I missed out on it. But take us through some stories you remember from that season, and maybe involving Billy specifically.
Well, we missed you, Aaron. I'm telling you. I wish you were there for it. Listen, man, honestly, they were some of the best times of my life. There was one particular time, so many defining moments throughout that season, but one particular time I remember we were playing Tufts. And I remember Billy had gotten a steal, and this might be a little bit particular. I had missed a couple free throws, actually. Billy got a steal to bail me out,
yeah.
And then ended up rising up, taking off, and dunking on Tom Pileschi. And that was a defining moment. Tufts was a powerhouse in the NESCAC at that point, and it was something that ended up being not only one of our favorite photos to this day, shout out to Phyllis Graver Jensen, but then also we were able to obviously get that win, secure a spot in the tournament, and then move on. The rest was history. So there was also another time, actually, where we were losing to Hamilton.
Right.
Billy got a steal. Again, another missed free throw. I got to work on my free throws. Another missed free throw of mine. Billy got the steal, got the and-one layup, ended up sealing the victory for us. And ultimately, that led to St. Vincent, Stockton, and oh my gosh, man, I can't say enough good things about Billy. I could talk all day about stories for him, but he was such a big part of that team. We wouldn't have gone there without him.
And what about him off the court? What was it like off the court?
Off the court, he was one of the best friends I've ever had. I mean, that was somebody who, he was from Atlanta, so Billy used to regularly frequent New England trips. He would come to Boston, he would come to Connecticut. We have several fun memories of stories I'll tell at a later date.
Sure.
But things of him coming to New Haven with us. We went out. I used to formerly work for the radio station, which was an internship I had during college, and Bill used to come help me out with that. So for all of the memories we had on the court, like, there was so many times that we had off that, my gosh, that'll be my brother forever, for life.
And he was a captain for that team, so what kind of leader was he? I mean, what kind of leadership did he provide?
You know, Billy was the best leader I could have asked for. I mean, to be able to show up every day and have your best friend be the person to tell you what you have to do, and to be able to say, like, whatever. Like, we were able to put our full trust into Bill. And if he said, okay, guys, we got to go hard today. Guys, if we got to focus on defense. Whatever it was that he said, we took that word as gospel and we went with it. So it was, not only was he a fantastic person, but he was one of the best captains we could ever ask for.
And then after that season, after you graduated the following year, I mean, how were you able to keep in touch with a lot of the guys from that year's team?
We still remain in touch, actually. Yeah. We have a very close group chat. All the guys stay close. I mean, we know that we were able to break down barriers that not everybody was able to do while they were here at Bates, and we take that very seriously. We have so much pride in that, and everybody is so involved with each other's lives, whether it be professionally, whether it be guys are having kids now, getting married. It's really cool to watch. So it really is a testament to how that NESCAC brotherhood lasts beyond those 4 years and on into life.
And what's it been like up there in the Thompson room with, catching up with everyone in person?
The energy in the Thompson room is immaculate right now. Everybody is together. We're having a great time. We're over here cheering on our brothers, trying to help them pull through a win through Kobe. And you know what? We're going to bring even more energy in the second half, and I have a feeling that we are going to pull out this win.
All right, I'll let you go after one more. Just any other thoughts you wanted to share about Billy we haven't gotten to talk about yet?
You know, I just want to say that Billy is incredible. I want to give a special shout out to his father, his mother, his wife Hillary, Billy, his daughter. They are a special, amazing family. It is such a tight-knit Bates community. Everyone is so awesome, and I just, Billy is with us so strongly. I can feel his presence in this room, and we're going to pull through to a W. He is one of the most special people I ever met in my life, and I'm just sending ultimate love to him and his family.
Bornazian's prediction of a comeback victory proved to be on point as the Bobcats rallied from 10 points down to win it in overtime. First-year Mark Bejan II turned in a performance for the ages. 38 points, 22 in the second half. You can find the complete highlights on our YouTube page, but it was something to behold. He was named the main player and rookie of the week, and Mark Bejan II is our male Bobcat of the week. Give us an idea about your background a little bit. Grew up in California. How did you first get into the sport of basketball?
I'd say my grandpa really had me playing basketball when I was young. I used to play on the little Tykes hoop in my room, and we'd be watching like Disney Channel, Scooby-Doo, random things, and at commercials or whatever, he just had me doing like random things on the little hoop. Like, I used to watch a lot of Kevin Durant highlights and then just try and do stuff like that. So I don't know, I just always really liked seeing other players play, and I wanted to kind of emulate what they did, and then eventually kind of started doing my own thing.
So was Durant your favorite player growing up?
Oh yeah, 100%. I loved him.
What about him makes him your favorite player?
I don't know. He just had a really smooth game. He was just a really cool dude. I don't know. I always, like, for Christmas one year, I told my parents I wanted to meet him. It was just a lot of, I loved Kevin Durant back in the day. Had all his jerseys.
Excellent. And so you ended up going to Brewster Academy for a year before coming to Bates. What was that experience like coming out to New Hampshire after growing up in California? A little bit different environment, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything was different. Like, the basketball was so different. The people were so different. But I tell my parents all the time, it was kind of like, it was one of the best, like, years of my life just learning how to be on my own because it's a boarding school, so kind of learning how to do my own thing. And then the basketball was just such a high level, and it was like such great competition every single day, so it was really cool to kind of play with high level guys and learn what they did on a daily basis. And then the people there, some of the best people I met in my life, like I still talk to them to this day. So overall, like, that whole year was just a really cool experience for me because I was in San Diego my whole life, so it was a really new and fun experience.
Saw snow for the first time, maybe?
Oh, yeah. It was very different. I woke up one morning and there was snow all over the place and it was cold, but I got through it, I guess.
And then, obviously, when you're in the Northeast, but what made Bates kind of the place for you for college when you're looking at your different options?
Yeah, I went on a visit my senior year of high school, and I just loved it when I came. Like, I went to a couple different D3 schools in the area, and, like, after I left, I told my dad Bates was just definitely the number one school. Like, Coach Furbush just gave me a great visit. He was, like, really welcoming, kept it real with me. And then he just, you know, he told me I'd have an opportunity to play, but he told me I'd have to earn it. And, like, just kind of the honesty he had with me and through the whole recruiting process, it was, like, Bates was kind of the obvious choice for me.
And then you mentioned that your parents did not play basketball.
No, they did not.
When you started being pretty good at basketball, what was kind of their reaction seeing that?
They're just really supportive. Like, I don't know if they really jumped on the whole, like, basketball train necessarily. They just knew that I loved it and they wanted to push me to be my best. And, like, my mom, she doesn't care if I have 0 points, 20 points, whatever I do. She just wants me to have fun. And then my dad knows how much I love it. So he's always rebounding for me. He's always taking me to work out in the mornings. Like, he does so much for me. So they're just really supportive of anything I really want to do. It doesn't really matter, basketball or not.
We said 0 or 20. Well, what about 38 against Colby? Have you ever been in the zone like that in a game before?
Not quite like that. You know, I was really feeling it. It was a lot of things were going well. So I'd say that was definitely one of the best games, probably the best game I've had. And it was really cool to have it on, like, the night that I did have it. So
Certainly, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But, I mean, I noticed you also knocking down a number of mid-range jumpers, which honestly, mid-range jumpers are kind of something that you don't see a whole lot anymore in basketball. Yeah. But you were able to knock those down. Do you work on that a lot?
Oh, yeah. That's, like, my go-to. I love watching, like, Devin Booker, Cam Thomas. Those are my favorite players, and they really shoot the mid-range. And I feel like that's definitely the strongest part of my game. I love getting to the mid-range. So that's kind of something I really focus on, really try to get better at.
And then you had that three at the end of regulation. I was just going to – I mean, the court was going to be stormed when you made that. When you released it, did you think it was going in, or you're like, oh, we're going to overtime?
Nah, I was like, we're going to overtime. It would have been really cool if it went in, but fortunately it didn't happen like that.
Then what was it like to see your teammate and fellow classmate, Jalen Jackson, knock down that big shot to give you guys a lead in overtime? How have you been working with these, you know, first years, Jalen being another guard like yourself?
Yeah, it's been great. Like Jalen, Babacar, Cole, Ben, like, all those guys, especially, like, in that moment, Jalen, like, I got so much trust in him. In practice, he's making every three he shoots. So I knew he was going to knock that down when I passed it to him. And then playing with guys like Babacar, too, like, he's from California. We have a really close relationship. But he's just a really good player. And he holds me accountable. I hold him accountable. So I kind of have a good relationship with the freshman, and it kind of carries over onto the court.
Now, California, obviously, being a huge state, did you know Babacar at all growing up? Or?
It's funny. We actually had some mutual friends. Like, I met this kid Kai at Brewster Academy, and they actually are both from Santa Barbara. They played against each other. They're pretty good friends. So we have some mutual connections, but I didn't know him when I was there.
You mentioned, you know, the night, you know, it was a big crowd. We honored, you know, Bates alum Billy Selman before the game. And you mentioned we interviewed right after the game live on air, but you mentioned Graham Stafford talking to you a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about that conversation with, you know, one of Billy's former teammates.
Yeah, Coach Graham, he's my guy, and he's always telling me kind of before the game. He's big on, like, the X's and O's, kind of what I'm going to do when I get out there and making sure I see things on the court. But before this game, I talked to him, and I was like, what are you seeing out there? Like, I asked him about Billy Selman, and I could tell he was a little emotional, and it was kind of cool to see that side of him. And he was kind of just telling me, just go out there and have fun. Like, it was such a big night for the program, and the important part wasn't necessarily the X's and O's. It was just kind of going out there and obviously getting the win, but also just enjoying basketball. So that was kind of his advice to me before the game.
Moving forward now this year, you have a little bit of time between now and your next game. What are some thoughts on, you know, entering 2024 strong for the team? What are some goals you have for yourself and for the team in general, kind of you've been talking about?
Yeah, you know, we got off to kind of a, I wouldn't say a rough start, but obviously our record doesn't kind of show what I think we're capable of. And I think we're all kind of starting to get on the same page about what we're doing offensively, defensively, all that. And so hopefully that can kind of spark a winning streak for us. And I'd say for us, we just want to go into league play with, like, some strong games and then obviously do well in league. But right now we're just kind of taking it practice by practice, day by day. And we've been getting better every single day, every single practice. We get better and better. So.
Well, I saw you were tied with Emory at halftime, and they're, like, ranked 16th in the country.
Yeah.
And so the ability to close out a game really was on display against Colby. I mean, how satisfying was that for the team to be able to close out a game so strong? You shot over 50%, over 60% even in the second half.
Yeah, that was huge for us because, like you said, second half we kind of struggle sometimes. And we were down, 10 at halftime against Colby? Right. And then we were kind of down throughout the second half. So, like, I feel like when we're in the game, we can always win it. And it's just a matter of keeping ourselves in the game. And we did that against Colby. And hopefully we can continue to do that and maybe get some larger leads so we don't have to keep it that close.
And then, you know, academically, tell me about the transition to college.
Academically, I feel like I did pretty well so far. And, I mean, you have all the support you need here. So
have you talked to some of the other players about, you know, tips and tricks to, you know, balancing the two things?
Yeah. They all have their own little secrets. But I feel like it's just kind of a person-by-person thing. Like, I work very differently than some people, but they all have kind of, like, they'll tell me what classes to take, what classes not to take sometimes, so they're really helpful, whatever I need.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about this game against Colby? Because, like, I mean, you know, you mentioned it's, like, nothing you've had before, but any other thoughts you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like such a big game for our program. Like I said, obviously we're honoring Billy Selman, and then we're playing rival Colby, and it's in finals week right before break. And we kind of, like, really, before the game, we really knew we needed a win. And so even though, like, on the box score it just shows one win, like, that win kind of signifies so much more for us. And Coach Furbish even texted me after the game. He's like, we really needed that one. And, like everybody just felt so good after that. You know what I mean? Definitely a must-win game. And yeah, it just felt really, really good to win that one.
Absolutely, yeah. Very satisfying victory in overtime over Colby. My voice is still recovering from that one. Mark, thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Sophomore Elsa Delario turned in her highest scoring game yet as a Bobcat in the women's basketball team's 55-54 win over Colby on Wednesday. She poured in 20 points in the win and is currently averaging 10.2 points per game and a team-leading 6 rebounds per game for the 8-1 Bobcats. And she is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Elsa, I mean, a career-high 20 points for you there at Colby in a one-point win. What was really clicking for you out there on the court in that game in particular?
Part of it was that I had some size on a lot of the Colby girls, but I guess right in the beginning in the first quarter, I hit a couple shots, and I don't know, my confidence just was getting up there, and just I think a lot of our shots weren't falling. We were taking really good shots, but that kind of gave me the opportunity to, you know, get some post touches and go to work in the paint. So, yeah. It's just working for me.
And take us through your game-winning shot. You went into the lane, and you kind of a hook shot a little bit. Have you been working on that move a little bit?
Yeah. I actually really like that move, like in practice and stuff. But we were running this play just where one of the guards just sets a down screen for me. And I honestly wasn't really like looking to shoot it that much. But then, I don't know, I just saw an opportunity and... it just went in, and it was a good pass. So, yeah, it was just the right moment, I guess.
And you all were up on Colby for most of the game, and they came back and actually took a brief lead before you hit that game-winning shot. So what was the message kind of for the team to be able to finish the game and close them out like that?
Yeah, we did have some trouble with, like, scoring droughts. I think we didn't really score that much in the fourth quarter. Like, that last shot that I had was, one of the only shots we've taken in the fourth quarter, I guess. But I think there was like 1 minute left and they had gotten up on us and we knew that we had been working so hard that whole game. And that was the mindset that we just needed to finish that out strong, especially with our defense too in that last play.
Oh, right. The ball roll around the rim. What was your view of that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It still haunts me. Like, we watched that play over so many times. We were trying to switch that because that number 13, that guard, like, she was getting those drives all day. But I think part of it was just keeping her out of the paint, which was really good. And it hit all the right spots in the rim, but just didn't fall. So... And Arrows got that rebound, couldn't have
hugged the ball
won
it
without her. Yeah, hugged it.
And I'm curious, when something like that happens, is it almost slow motion?
Oh, my. I think I blacked out, honestly. Like, it's a little bit slow motion, but at the same time, oh, my God. It was a crazy way to end the game, but... glad our defense pulled through in that last play.
Well, speaking of defense, I mean, it's been a swarming defense this year. You pressure the ball up and down the court. From a post player's perspective, what's that like playing such a high tempo?
I kind of just stand in the back and I have just more like a talking role, but it's great. I mean, the guards, they go hard. We work on that so much in practice, both of our presses. So, and it's really part of our identity this year to just be a full court team for 40 minutes, and I think we've been doing a pretty good job with that.
I think Allison mentioned that, you know, you and Danielle Adams being the two post players really go hard in practice. Yeah. What's that battle like with your classmate?
It's so much fun. I mean, Danny and I, we have totally different game. Her jumper and my I'm more like low post, obviously, but we just go at it all practice. I think it's super special. We just push each other so hard, and then in games it translates really well, and I think it's tough. Like, Danny and I are the only two posts, but, like, switching that game up and, like, how the defense responds, because our game is so different, so...
When I'm curious, you had no fouls against Colby, but then against you had some foul trouble, but you were able to come back in late and not foul out.
Yeah.
How do you do that in terms of, like, focusing on not fouling but still, you know, playing your tough defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a focus for me throughout this season because I think I started a couple games in foul trouble. And, I mean, they had some big girls on that team, and I started out with foul trouble, but... At the end, just really trying to stay straight up the whole time and I mean, I know I can bother them still with my length, so, I mean, that's all I had to do was just stay straight up, just using my length to bother them.
Yeah, you're able to block a lot of shots without really having to jump that much either, mm-hmm. right? You can stick your arm up in the air and block. What's that like, you know, being the tallest player on the court most games?
I guess it's really good for me. It brings my confidence up, especially in defense.
I mean, obviously, I'm sure you take pride in blocking a lot of shots, right?
Yeah, and sometimes I try to block too many shots, and I feel like that's where I get some of my fouls. I get carried away, but yeah.
Gotcha. Now the team gets to go to Florida here before Christmas even.
Yeah,
so,
super excited.
Yeah, play some teams, you know, you're not necessarily a team before or anything. Mm-hmm. So what are you most excited about this Florida trip to test yourself against these two schools that really we don't know much about, right?
Yeah, I think one of the teams we're playing is maybe like top 25 mm-hmm. in the country or something like that. So really good challenge for us. Just really excited to get some more games in and see some different teams and just keep playing our game.
I know last year you're supposed to go to Puerto Rico and there was like an airline, Southwest Airlines kind of that up. So how excited are you to go someplace warm this year instead of upstate New York?
So excited. Yeah. Last year that was tough.
I'm just curious, just in terms of like goals the team has, you know, going mm-hmm. forward kind of, because you're off to an 8-1 start.
Yeah.
But, you know NESCAC play is kind of the be-all, end-all sort of, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, what's really special about our team is we set certain goals in the beginning of the season, and every single day we're working to achieve those, and it's just really special to be a part of. So we have a big poster in our room of our goals.
Well, Sarah Hughes was talking about like check marks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah, so we have like we started our season off with just like check marks of each game, each opponent. So just one game at a time, really working on focusing on that game itself. And one of our goals is just like to be the best in Maine. And I mean, we had a tough loss against Bowdoin, but still, you know, during NESCACs, like, just keep working at that goal.
Well, and you get another chance at Bowdoin.
Yeah.
And that's on your home court this time.
Yeah, super excited about that.
Describe the home court advantage for Alumni Gym, because I really feel like it's a real thing.
Oh, it's such a real thing. I love it so much. One of my favorite things about Bates, just the gym is so, like, small and intimate, and our fans are great, and like when we have a big crowd, it just feels like everybody's on top of you, and it gets so loud, which like a lot of other gyms just don't have. Like, I don't know, like Colby, it was just pretty empty,
yeah.
And we really had to bring the energy up there, and so Alumni is just really special for that.
Excellent. And then, you know, you being a sophomore now, last year you were kind of thrown into the fire a little bit because Bree was going to be, she got injured, and so it mm-hmm. was you as basically the starter all season. And so how did that prepare you for this season, kind of, you know, having a full year of college basketball under your belt?
It prepared me a lot. I mean, last year as a freshman, I was pretty nervous going into it, but I think just throughout the season, it really raised my confidence. And I don't think last year I was trying to score so much, but like this year I think that's one of my focuses, since I feel a lot more confident in my offensive game. So
I'm curious about, obviously, your mom Adrienne Scheibels is a well-known figure around Bates, you know, 1,000-point scorer here at Bates, although she'll say she was more of a defensive player.
Yeah, she will.
So what are you talking with her like, kind of, about, you know, her experience playing here compared to, you know, what it is like now, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the same type of vibe. Like, both of our teams were super similar in, like, our goals and everything. And, I mean, she gives me pointers, obviously. Like, she does say that she was more defensively involved with her rebounds and everything. So it's been super special to have her come to a lot of my games, which she usually doesn't really get to because she's coaching. But so that's been super nice, and just having her watching and giving me all of her advice. So it's been really good.
Great. And then what's it like, you know, continuing kind of the, you know, a Bates legacy, if you will, like through the generations, sort of?
I mean, it's kind of crazy, honestly. But just super special to be a part of this team again. Like, this year, our vibe is just so good. I love the team. And it's just so special to be a part of. And, yeah, I guess that's a pretty good legacy to be with.
Great. Well, what are your thoughts you wanted to share on this past week, a 2-1 week for Bates, finishing strong there with a win over UNE?
Yeah, just super proud of this team so far and really excited to get into some more NESCAC play because I'm just super excited to see where we go. I think we're going to be really good this year.
All right, sounds good. Bobcats are in action in Florida later this month, about a little over a week from now. And you can find the links to watch live and follow the stats at GoBatesBobcats.com. We'll see him back at Alumni Gym in January. Elsa Delario, Female Bobcat of the Week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The track and field teams competed at the Joe Donahue Games, hosted by Northeastern University at the track at New Balance in Boston on Friday. A number of Bobcats turned in impressive performances, and you can find the complete recaps at GoBatesBobcats.com. Senior Walter Joachim Del Pollo moved into ninth on the Bates all-time performance list in the 60-meter hurdles, taking third place in a field of seven with a time of 8.90 seconds, trailing two runners from Division I Northeastern. Well, Walter, first time on the Bobcast, so just take us through kind of growing up. How did you first get into the sport of track and field, and then what eventually led you to Bates?
So my dad was actually a hurdler throughout high school as well in Massachusetts, and I guess that's kind of what got me into it. I'd always wanted to do track, and hurdling seemed like the right thing to do because of, you know, the family lineage, I guess. So, yeah, I started doing it in middle school over, like, I think it was probably like 33-inch hurdles, and then throughout high school, and I really enjoyed it. And, yeah, when I was thinking of applying to colleges, I reached out to Coach Johnston and Coach Fresh at the time. Mm-hmm. About wanting to join the team, and yeah, things worked out from there, so luckily that was good.
Excellent. And then take us through the meet there on Saturday, the Joe Donahue Games and 60 meter hurdles for you. Big performance, moving to the top 10 list in Bates history. How's that feel?
It's good. Yeah, I was very happy with the performance, especially so early in the season too. I will say, for the top 10 list, we've got a good group of young hurdlers.
Sure.
So yeah, it's gonna be, I'm thinking there's gonna be a lot of movement on that list in the next few years to come, so that should be exciting. But yeah, it was a good race. I was happy with it. It felt like it's good to start off with a PR this early in the season. So.
Yeah, and hurdles to me are interesting. I mean, they're very high, and you don't have much time. You can't make any mistakes whatsoever, really. I mean, how do you learn to do that kind of? Because it's, I feel like it's just such a tricky event. Because like, it's 60 meters, and you have these very tall hurdles you're dealing with.
Yeah, it is. There's not much room for error, but I do think part of it is just knowing that you're probably going to catch one of the hurdles at some point. Mm. You're going to make a little mistake, and you just got to know to keep racing forward through that and just be as efficient as you can over them and just stay locked in throughout the race and not let little things get to you.
Right, so if you feel your foot brush the hurdle, the key is not to let it throw you off.
Right, yeah, because yeah. That's going to happen. I mean, it's always a loud race when it's going because people are always hitting them. You know when the 60 hurdles is happening.
Certainly. And then, I mean, you know, as a sprinter, you get the chance also to watch some of your teammates compete. What was that experience like there on Saturday as a senior also?
It was good. It was exciting. I mean, we've got a lot of new faces on the team, and we had a lot of really solid performances from a lot of guys. And it was really fun to watch everyone get started, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're all going to do throughout the season.
And the track at New Balance is a very new facility. I know. I think it opened last year. So, I mean, what's it like competing there?
It's cool. It's cool. It's really cool in there. It feels very official, which is nice.
Right.
But yeah, I love that facility.
How have you seen yourself kind of grow as a sprinter from your first year at Bates, where there really wasn't much of a season, to now?
It's been a long process.
Yeah.
It was tough not having like a real season the first year, but I mean, Coach Johnson, Coach Art have been great throughout the whole time. All of my teammates have always been great, supporting me and working hard, and it's been an exciting team to be a part of. The biggest thing has been, you know, adjusting from the 39-inch hurdles from high school to the 42-inch ones for college. So that's been something that a lot of the focus has been, but it's starting to feel like there's some real breakthroughs being made there, so that's exciting.
Yeah, so you said you started in middle school on 33,
yeah,
and 39 in high school, and 42, so those extra 3 inches is probably a big difference.
Yeah. But I think... I mean, it's you can't really get away with as many mistakes over the 42s as you could in high school. So through the process, I think it's making me a far more efficient hurdler overall. So that's been exciting.
You're also part of Relay, 4x400, right? So take us through that race and what's it like working, you know, within a relay context as opposed to these individual events?
Yeah, I love working in a relay context. It's always fun to get to run with your teammates, and it's always a lot more exciting. Feels like there's a lot more pressure, but that's usually good. And yeah, we had two 4x4 relays there. And yeah, we've got a lot of really solid 400 runners. And I'm excited to see how that's going to shape out. I think we've got a lot of guys who could run some really fast times there. And I think that relay is going to, whatever the kind of final four shapes out to be, is going to be a really exciting one to watch.
It seems like, you know, with Curtis Johnson being the head coach now, a guy who has a sprinting background himself, it seems like sprinters are kind of having a moment here at Bates. We saw last year the 60-meter dash record just kept falling each week, it seemed like. What's that like to have the sprinters front and center so far?
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been special to be a part of. I do think this is a sprinting team that every year I think is just going to keep getting better for some time. And I think that says a lot about Coach Johnson. It says a lot about the guys on the team. And yeah.
Great. And so what are maybe some goals you have in your mind, you know, heading into January? Because that was like, you know, a great way to start the season, right? But now the meat of the year is still coming up in 2024, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to keep working that time down.
Yeah.
You know, just keep PRing, keep improving, keep supporting the team, and see where it all takes us.
Right, because in a 60-meter race, I mean, it's such like – I mean, can you feel like if you're like in the middle of the race, it's so short, but can you feel like, this is a breakthrough, or do you have to wait to see the time to see if you really achieved anything that you wanted?
I think it's a lot easier to tell if you had a really bad race.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can tell that, yeah.
You might fall or something.
Right.
But, no, I mean, I think there's always waiting at the end of the race.
Yeah.
Waiting for the time to see. I mean, I felt like it was a good race. I wasn't sure how good it was or if it would be a PR, but yeah, once the time goes up, yeah.
I know this, looking forward again, I know we have the Maine State meet. What's that experience like competing against other teams in Maine? Because that's coming up in, I think, early February, I think, right?
Yeah, that's always an exciting one.
Yeah.
Especially in the hurdles, there's a lot of good hurdlers in Maine, so that'll be a fun competitive race. So yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Do you think the hurdles are going to be kind of your focus this year, or a relay perhaps as well, or...
I think so, yeah. I think both of those. I'm looking forward to it.
Is it kind of up to the coaches, sort of?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely the hurdles, though.
Yeah, for sure. Who are some of the other hurdlers on Bates that we should know about?
We've got a bunch of freshmen, actually, coming in this year. So we got Seneca Moore, who hasn't raced yet, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do very fast. We got Eli Terrell, who raced with me, Jared Donahue. He had a great opener. And then we've got some other guys. We got Mason Spivey, who's also a high jumper. And we got Owen Fitzpatrick, who is going to get in the hurdle soon. And we got Carson Mollering as well, who's a multi. But he's been working really hard in the hurdles, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year, too, in that event specifically.
Great. So lots of stuff to look forward to. Just your thoughts on the Joe Donahue games and how they went for a season opener for you?
Yeah, I think it went well. I mean, I think it went well for the whole team. It was exciting. You know, we got to go up against a lot of Division I competition, which was cool to have that opportunity and to – you know, see how he go up against those guys. And I think everyone held their own pretty well. And I think, yeah, it's the sprint team is good. Same with the throws team as well. You know, they held it down as they always do.
Right.
So it's going to be exciting.
I was going to say, is it exciting, nervous, nerve-wracking to line up next to, like, someone from Harvard?
Definitely yeah. A little bit. I mean, but it's exciting. It's mostly exciting.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a chance to race guys that fast all the time, so it's good to sort of put it into perspective and be like, okay, and yeah, this is where I want to get to. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Walter, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on a great performance there at 60-meter hurdles. Top 10 all-time at Bates. That list continues to move around a little bit here in recent years. Thanks again.
Thank you, Aaron.
A sprinter for the women's team also cracked a Bates top 10 all-time performance list. First year, Emily Kane impressed in her collegiate debut, taking 10th place out of 26 runners in the 60-meter dash in 8.20 seconds. That time is good for 10th all-time at Bates. Well, Emily, I mean, first of all, you know, your first year of collegiate track, your first meet, in fact, this past weekend there at the Joe Donahue Games. Tell me about your first experience of a collegiate track meet and how it went from your perspective.
It was really exciting, especially being my first college track meet. It's definitely something I've been looking forward to for so many months now. But I was pretty nervous for my first race. But yeah, I just trusted the process. I know I put in the work in the fall and just wanted to see what I had. So
tell me a little bit about, you know, being a sprinter. When did you start doing that kind of growing up? When did you become involved with track and field competitively?
Yeah, I did a little bit of track in middle school. It was like the only off school like sport that they offered during like the seasons. So I just like tried it out and it went pretty well. I liked it. So I did it a little bit in high school. I ran indoor and outdoor track, but a lot of that got cut off because of COVID. So I had a little bit of freshman year running in high school, but mainly like senior year was the big year for me.
And then what made Bates kind of place for you? I mean, because you're originally from Washington State, but you did go to high school here on the East Coast, right?
Yeah. So I went to high school in Massachusetts, but I came up here for a visit to meet the team and Coach Johnson. And honestly, like the community was so amazing. I could definitely tell that people were super close and I loved the atmosphere. So I was like, it's the place for me. And yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you know, being from the West Coast originally, what made kind of the appeal of, you know, going to boarding school on the East Coast kind of for you, what made that appealing to make that trip out here?
My sister, my older sister, went to a boarding school in Indiana. So I kind of got to know the boarding school world. And I knew that was something I wanted to explore because I had heard so many like positive experiences of people that went to boarding schools. And it was just a really unique opportunity that I had, so I thought, why not take it?
Do you feel like it prepared you for the college experience now?
For sure. Living away can be difficult, I know, for people. And it still is sometimes, but it definitely prepared me, like, becoming more independent and, like, you know, time management was a huge thing that it helped me with, knowing how to balance my schoolwork and extracurriculars without having someone like constantly over you telling you what to do, where to be, when. That really helped with the transition to college.
Great. Now the track team obviously here is a big team, lots of people to get to know. So how's that been going, you know, as a first year coming in, meeting all these people?
Yeah, it's definitely overwhelming at first. But the captains have done such a great job of getting the team together, making people feel super welcomed. And I think that has made a huge difference. And also, we just spend so much time together, seeing everyone at practice every day, traveling to meets and whatever. So that has definitely helped.
And you're a sprinter, as we mentioned, 60-meter dash. You're actually top 10 now all time at Bates. You're right there at number 10 after your first meet. So what does that feel like?
It's exciting. Yeah. For sure. Shocked myself a little when I saw that. But there's definitely some work still to be done, so I'm excited to see how the rest of the season unfolds.
Are you working closely with Curtis then? Because I know he has a sprinting background, he obviously being the head coach as well.
Yeah, he is our main point of contact with all of our workouts and practices, for sure.
So what are you working on with him kind of specifically to, you know, improve your sprinting? Because it's such a matter of, like, it's such a quick race. I mean, and so I'm sure there's lots of little things you're working on, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a very quick race. Not a lot of time to work on things while you're running, but right now working on that transition from, you know, just getting out of the blocks to getting into that dry phase and then getting upright and finishing the race strong, because those transitions can be hard sometimes, but they make a huge difference.
So for indoor, it's a 60, and then also you said you're racing the 200, and mm-hmm. So what do you kind of prefer there? A little longer race, the 200, but
Definitely the shorter stuff. In high school, I mostly only stuck to the short, very short stuff as much as I could because I liked it so much more. The speed endurance can be tougher for me. It's definitely something I'm working on. But yeah, I'd have a lot more fun in the shorter stuff.
I think for some kids, when they come to Bates, indoor can be a new experience for them. They only had outdoor before. Did you do both?
Yeah, I did both indoor and outdoor. But I know some of my teammates tell me stories about how they had practice in high school where they're just running down the hallways, which is kind of funny, but We're really lucky to have great facilities here.
And then, obviously, outdoor season's a ways away, but I imagine that'd be the 100-meter dash for you.
Yeah.
Is that a fun race as well?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think I still prefer the 60 because it's shorter, but working my way up, yeah.
So why sprinting, I think, for you, maybe, I mean, compared to maybe other events? There's so many different events you could do with track and field. What makes sprinting kind of your favorite?
I'm not sure. I think it's mostly because that's just what I've been doing.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of long jumping in high school, dabbled in that. And I have a lot of fun doing that as well. But yeah, sprinting is just what I'm used to, what I've grown up doing. So, yeah.
Excellent. So obviously we had a couple meets here before the new year, but the main part of the season starts in January. What are you most looking forward to for your first collegiate season, kind of when it really gets going after the new year?
I'm really looking forward to spending more time with the team, like traveling. I had such a fun experience, just like not even with the racing part of it, but just traveling with everyone, talking to people on the bus, like getting dinner, just those small things. And I think that can be a huge part of the whole experience. I'm looking forward to just doing those with the team, yeah.
Great. I know the track at New Balance is a kind of a newer facility. I think it opened like last year or something. So what was that experience like competing there?
It was super cool. Definitely a very phenomenal place to run. I remember like walking in and it's just like, wow, the lights are like so bright. And like it feels like everyone's going to be like staring at you in the center of the track. But super cool facility. Super grateful that I was able to get the chance to run there.
And as a sprinter, I'm sure you get a chance to watch a lot of your teammates as well, right? Compete, what's that like?
Yeah, it's super cool, especially this past meet. I mean, the freshmen in particular, it's so exciting watching them race because we have so much talent on the team this year. And it's like I've been getting to know them over these past couple of months. Like we've all become super close friends. So seeing them actually compete and doing, you know, what they love and what they do best is a really exciting experience. And it was just so much fun in general.
The Bobcast is taking the rest of the calendar year off, but we'll make our triumphant return in January when our winter sports pick back up. In the meantime, stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates Athletics news. And we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.